The text for our sermon this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, in particular verse 22 and 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And also from the gospel reading, when Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The tradition of God is to make us holy and without blemish, to wash us through the water and the word, to present us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, on that last day, perfect. That is ours by faith. Too often, the commandment of God that we leave and hold to the tradition of man is what Paul is saying to the people in Ephesus. We neglect to see God's tradition, God's doctrine, in our roles and being submissive. And we follow the traditions of fallen man, insisting on our way, insisting on our rights, and demanding that we get our way. That of not wanting to be submissive, that is the way of man. Not wanting to be submissive, but to live in pride. But thanks be to God that Christ Jesus was submissive. He was perfecting for us a life that he bestows on us in baptism. That faith in the submission of Christ is what saves us. And so we then enjoy, and following his example, can be submissive in our various vocations. As Jesus' disciples said last week, they said, Lord, this is a hard saying. That was in reference to Jesus saying he will give his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. But you ask any run-of-the-mill Lutheran from the last 40 years who's grown up in the television era, what is the hardest saying in the Scriptures? In today's text would rank pretty high up there. The order of family. This saying, this verse from Ephesians 5, probably takes the proverbial cake that mom made because she wanted to be submissive. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. It is difficult for wives, women in general, to hear. How much more difficult for husbands to hear. In our age of not wanting responsibility, in an age of not wanting to provide for someone else's needs, in an age where men are told everything masculine is evil, and boys are told, you're uncontrollable, boys are too rough. It's hard to hear that we are to love a wife as we love ourselves when society teaches boys not to even love themselves. Lord, this is a hard saying. When society tells men and boys not even to love themselves, it's no surprise men are abusive and boys want to stay boys and not commit to marriage. Not only do the feminists hate this text, but so do feminist men. The wives don't like the idea of being submissive. The men don't like the idea of living a sacrificial life, giving everything you have, even your very life, for someone else. That's just not fair. Both ideas, though, are rooted in the identity of Christ and His church. This is why it's so easy to get the ear and the support of the world when living and speaking contrary to what St. Paul says, that submission is good and God-pleasing, both for the wife and the husband. In fact, not only will the world applaud the rebellious wife or the Christian who's left the faith, they will encourage it. Life is so much better if you just do what you want. Doing what you want is the key to happiness. And perhaps they're right. There's always a sliver of truth behind every heresy. You may be more happy, but God is not interested in your happiness. God is interested in communicating to us fallen sinners what leads to eternal life. And what leads to eternal life may not always look like the most fun, nor the happy thing to do. The happiest place in the world is not the church, but Disney World. And look how miserable that is. I wish I could say submission was not a difficult word, just like joy is sometimes difficult, or rejoicing, always giving thanks to God, carrying one's cross, being patient, kind, loving. These are not always easy words because we are a people who ebb and flow like the Texas weather this last week, between 70 degrees and rain to 120 degrees and humidity so thick you can cut it with a knife. St. Paul warns, don't be tossed to and fro like grass in the wind. Let God's use of the word submissive be your stable rock guiding you to Christ. Let God's word be for you a guide that never changes, even the difficult passages, because the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And why does it endure forever? Because it is truth. It is life. It is Jesus. And that's St. Paul's point in this chapter to the Ephesians. He says submission is not just some cultural idea that stems from a society that has stumbled on the most efficient way to order a society. God is not interested in happiness nor efficiency if it comes into conflict with the truth. So as a breath of fresh air, Paul anchors submission in Christ, in the ways in which He was submissive. Christ's life is an example for us in every way. Every Christian desires to be kind like Christ. We want to be loving as Christ was. We want to be faithful like Christ was. We want to live at peace with others as much as we are able. Christ also flipped tables over in God's house. So remember, flipping tables is always a good way to show you didn't like the Jell-O salad at potluck. But considering Paul's admonition for wives and husbands to submit, although not always to each other, Paul doesn't say that this is just good order or that it is efficient. Submission of the wife to the husband and the husband to Christ is anchored in who He is, that Christ Himself submitted. Now, if you remember last week, Paul ended our reading in 5:21 saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Many people then think that when Paul continues today, when he says, wives, submit to your husbands, that Paul's being inconsistent. Which is it, Paul? Do we submit to one another or is there order to it? What Paul is teaching then, as he continues his lesson on submission, is that there is an order established by God. That when within each of our God-given relationships, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in you that you worship God by willingly taking the subordinate role with respect to each person that God has placed over you. But then also, we serve as God's instruments to deliver His gifts of care and protection to those who are placed under us. Or to say it another way, our lives are always an interchange between who we are submissive to and who is submissive to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just say wives have a role of submission. After our reading today, Paul goes on to recognize that children are to obey their parents, employees or slaves to obey their masters. That wherever we find ourselves, our roles in following Christ's example is to always be faithful. Whether we are to submit to somebody else, or we are the ones submitted to. God is a God of order and not of chaos. There is still an order to the Christian life, even though Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, there is still an order to the Christian life and how we relate to one another. Paul admonishes Christians, don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. He says, be devoted to brotherly love. Look not to one's own interest, but the interest of others. He says to be slaves to one another. All of this anchored in Christ. Jesus, he didn't think of himself more highly than he ought, but he took the form of a servant, humbling himself. Jesus did this when he washed his disciples' feet. However, Jesus still knew he had a superordinate office of Savior. Jesus took the form of the servant, yet he also retained the teaching that the disciples were submissive to him. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, Peter objected, said, "Never shall you wash my feet." But Jesus still maintained the order of submission that the disciples needed to submit to him. In fact, Jesus answers, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus rightly orders submission. Likewise, even though Paul spoke at length about Christians being the same before God, he also instructed the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16 to submit to their pastors. Peter also recognizes that pastors are to exercise their authority, but in a non-tyrannical way. The order of submission cannot be reversed. There is no such thing as mutual submission. There is mutual love, there is mutual humility, but God's order remains. And we have several instances where Christ himself submitted. First, we have the mention that Jesus submitted himself to his parents. And second, Jesus submitted himself to God, to his heavenly Father. But first, with his parents, we see an instance where Christ was submissive to someone who had a position of authority above him. Even though God was in the flesh, in Christ Jesus, born, Jesus still obeyed the fourth commandment. He was submissive to his mother and to Joseph. Even though Christ was perfect, he never sinned, he nonetheless submitted to his parents. The Creator of the world submitted to Mary and Joseph. He obeyed them. He honored them. We should see that in this discussion of submitting, the one who submits is of more value. because the office of the one above them, the office of parent, is established for the protecting and providing for children. Just as Christ the Savior doesn't assert his superiority, but lays aside his glory, is born to Mary, and gives his life for the church, the greater burden is always on the one who is above. And Christ gave his very life for the church as the husband. Second, Christ also submitted to the Father. And in submitting to the Father, he teaches us that there is honor in submission. Christ Jesus obeyed his Father perfectly. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." In Matthew 28, Christ says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Christ didn't take authority from the Father, but he waited on the Father to bestow the authority on him. Christ didn't take for himself, as the devil tempted him to do in the temptation in the desert, but Christ was submissive to the Father and waited on him. And yet, Christ as God is not lower than the Father, nor is he inferior to the Father. So Paul can speak of wives submitting to husbands, not because they are inferior or in some demeaning way. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul further says, "The head of every man is Christ, the head of the wife is the husband, and the head of Christ is God." So while the world and our sinful nature would lead us to see submitting as demeaning or as less than desirable, if we desire to be like Christ, we will see things opposite. We would first repent of our pride. We would turn away from our self-centeredness, and we see ourselves as living for one another. Namely, for Christ. Paul continues in verse 32 and he says, "This is a profound mystery." What he's referencing to there is verse 31 in his quotation of Genesis 2:24, "The husband shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." When God instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden, the mystery that Paul is revealing is that even in Genesis, God was showing his love for us that his son would submit to him and that his son is to give his life for his bride, the church. This reading in Ephesians is not primarily about how to have a good marriage. It certainly is that. But Paul says that marriage is all about the gospel. That marriage is a preaching of Christ, and that that is its final purpose. This is why we must fight for marriage and how God has instituted it. This is why we must fight for whatever roles we are submissive in, where we are submissive to Christ, the government, whatever authority is over us. But in particular with marriage, St. Paul says marriage is meant to preach Christ. Marriage can't be between two men and two women, because then that would mean that Christ dies and gives himself for someone who's just like him, for someone who's perfect, for someone who is God. And that is heresy. That is why we stand for marriage as God has instituted it. Paul isn't saying to the Ephesians that this idea of submission is some best practice for a successful life or a marriage that will make you happy. Paul says that being submissive is rooted in who God is. That throughout all the Old Testament, God is showing himself to be a faithful husband. Even though we have been unfaithful to him, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So if being submissive is not easy, repent. Take heart. If giving your life for someone else, in particular husbands, if this is difficult, repent and take heart. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give you wisdom and a blossoming of faith, that you would follow the example of Christ. Whether you are a husband or a wife, single or divorced, look at what Paul says Christ has done. He gave himself for us that he might make us holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is yours by faith in Christ, that we are not saved by being submissive, but we are saved by faith in the promise that Christ was submissive on our behalf. Submissive even to the point of death. In God's eyes, you are forgiven all your sins against marriage, whether single, married, divorced, widowed, widower. In God's eyes, Jesus provides you constant forgiveness and restoration. So let us leave the traditions of men that sees submission as bad. Let us rejoice that Christ was submissive, and by doing so, he has saved you. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.